Yeah, because ultimately, if you're looking for peace and contentment in your job, it will elude you. Because we
won't be there.
We know that's not where true peace and contentment comes from.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for that, stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be disappointed every time. Hey there, and welcome to Marriage Talks, a real, authentic, and relatable podcast about how to thrive in your marriage.
Here you'll find helpful information shaped by a biblical worldview on all things marriage-related, sex, money, parenting, and so much more. We are Michael and Elizabeth, and welcome to the show.
Welcome, guys. Welcome to this week's episode, where we are going to be talking through kind of our experience of, you know, a career change. And like, it's a big deal and it affects the marriage. And how do you support each other? How do you share your opinions, your fears, all that good stuff?
Yeah, it's a big deal. Some of you guys may be looking at a career change in the next few months, years, whatever. Some of you are unhappy in your career. You might be having that thought in your own head, but haven't brought it up to your spouse because you're afraid to. So we wanted to just kind of talk a little bit about what goes into a discussion like this and how you can really navigate it and bring unity to the marriage and hopefully get your thoughts out there and not experience a bad conversation.
Yeah. Unity in the marriage is really huge. I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we get into all of that, though, we do want to let you know that today's episode is sponsored by the Marriage Talks Patreon page. There are different tiers, different perks, lots of things that go along with each tier. And if you decide to partner with us, it would be supporting the Ministry of Marriage Talks, which is amazing and means the world to us. So there's a link in the show notes where you can check it out.
Yeah. And do me a favor. Go to your favorite podcast app, rate and review the show. Tell us your thoughts, what's been blessing you. A little personal story goes a long way. You may get even featured on an episode at the very end because we love those reviews. And yes, the 5-star rating goes a long way too.
Yeah. It's like the currency of podcasts. Just helps others find us.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. It's not mine. I wish it was, but I heard it on a different podcast. I was like, that's so good.
No one had to know that. You didn't have to admit it.
You got to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready to jump right into it?
Let's do it. First of all, I've noticed this in America and kind of like we were just saying, I didn't notice this. I was told this and now I notice it. But our jobs are so important in American culture. I don't know where you are when you're listening to this, but I can only speak to American culture. Our jobs are like who you are to a lot of people. I'm not saying that's right. That should not be your first and foremost identity, especially if you're a Christian. But for the most part, when you meet somebody at a party or a get together, you say, "Hi, my name's Mike." And then the first question you might get asked, and I'm guilty of this too, in like new patient evaluations, kind of trying to break the ice a little bit. What do you do for a living? And it is just such an identity thing. I'm a welder. I'm a librarian. I'm a physical therapist. I'm a full-time mom. I'm an entrepreneur. You name it. And that is kind of how you see yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair in some ways because if you look at a normal work week, if you're at some place 8 hours a day, you come home and you have like 3 to 4 hours at home before you go to sleep, it's easy to start thinking of yourself as the thing you do during the daytime.
Yeah.
Even though it might not be the most important thing, like being a dad, being a husband is ridiculously important too. But that's not necessarily the first place I go when describing myself to a new person.
Yeah. I wish the question is like, what is your passion or what brings you the most joy as opposed to what do you do? But it's so like routine for us to say, what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, you could do that, but you might get like, huh? What?
Like, oh, I've never been asked that before. I need to rethink my answer.
Yeah. It's one of those things you say, you want that. And then if you were to actually get it, you'd be thrown off probably. Like, it's kind of like if you go to church or wherever and you say, how you doing? Everybody says, good. That's it. But if somebody actually says, let me tell you, I actually got laid off and all this stuff. And you'd be like, whoa, okay. Oh, wow. I didn't realize you were going to say that. And bam, yeah. It's neither here nor there. And because our job is such an identity feature to our lives. Anytime there's any kind of a career change, whether it's voluntary or whether it's out of necessity, it's a massive stress to even consider or think about. And when you're in a marriage, especially so for both parties, you know, you've got two people that's got to be considered. And if you've ever been through this, you know what I'm talking about, where like, there's not many things I can think of that would be as stressful as like a career change.
Yeah. Cause it, well, there's so many things tied to it. You know, does it cause you like, does it cause a location change? Is there any kind of like, what about money? Cause like we do have to pay the bills. So it's not just like, oh yeah, sure. Good. Like change your hobby. It's just like something you do in your extra free time.
Yeah.
But what is the thing that you're going to be spending a lot of your day doing that's going to provide for this family? So it's met with a lot of fear and anxiety when, you know, you either have to make a career change or you want to make a career change. But I think an initial like reaction that's not necessarily a bad one is like, whoa, wait a minute. Like this really scares me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it doesn't, then you're kind of the odd one out, because I think that type of stuff would scare anybody realistically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We all love our comfort zone. We all love routine. Even though we say we don't, it's comforting to be in a routine. And when the routine is messed up, it's very unsettling at times.
Yeah. I always picture it as like when I'm talking to people about either like conflict or like massive change in a marriage, it's like you're inside this snow globe and somebody has taken it and shaken it up. And so your whole world is shaken and you don't know where the snow is falling and the pieces of your life, you don't know where those are all falling. So it's really like scary because you just don't know. You know, there are some people who are like just carefree, like, yeah, whatever. But I think the majority of people like to have predictable things happen in their life, like a predictable paycheck that you can, you know, pull your finances from. Like, I have this much money to spend for each thing and all that kind of, you know, just being able to like basically set up your life for where those finances are going. But, you know, we all like to have predictable things happen in our life and then we choose to insert spontaneity. So it's very different.
Yeah. It's like, I'm in control of this spontaneity. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. Did you think of the snow globe analogy or did somebody think of that too?
No, I actually thought of that.
Oh,
one.
Good job.
That one is, we got, that's an Elizabeth original.
We got some originality in the show. we've been stealing ideas all day long.
Yeah.
So we always like to bring personal stories into these episodes. Because if we're just delivering a list of stuff, like I wouldn't listen to this thing. So like, yeah. How did we get through some of the earlier stuff? So to give you a little background, when we met in 2007, I had just started, like literally, it's kind of amazing how the timing of the two things interacted. But I met Elizabeth summer of 2007. I also got accepted into athletic training that same summer within weeks, started my curriculum, and ever since then, I've been on a rehab-focused journey. So athletic training goes into PT school, physical therapy, and then I've been a physical therapist for going on 8 years. So I've had the same career pathway the entire time. Mm-hmm. So there was a point during the early pandemic time when I was pretty unhappy at work and just some changes coming up with federal payments for rehab services.
You were miserable. Yeah. I've never seen you like that.
I think, I mean, 2020 was super hard for a lot of people. I kept my job the whole time, so I can't complain too much. But I had looked into heavy duty, looking into switching to more of a like a technology kind of realm.
Yeah, programming, right?
Yeah, computer programming. And I was spending like 12 to 20 hours a week.
It was a lot, yeah.
Like learning Python and stuff like that.
Well, you had approached me and you just felt like you really needed something different. Like, not that you were bored, because you weren't. Like, you really enjoy and love and are passionate about physical therapy. And I think it was maybe just an environmental thing with where you were possibly at that made it difficult. And you were like, you basically were like, how do you feel about me having a total career change and doing this, doing programming? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually really amazing. I was like, oh, okay. So it even involved like doing some classes online, which cost some money, and then finding out pretty quickly the computer we currently had. Well, we only have one big computer, and Elizabeth was using that a lot, so I had to use an iPad. The iPad quickly ran out of abilities for what I was trying to learn. So we ended up getting a really like pretty expensive MacBook. And it was just like, holy cow, you want to talk about easy conversations, whereas Elizabeth, for whatever reason, and you could probably articulate this, but it was like, yeah, she was ready for, like I said, I'm thinking about a change. And she said, sure, do whatever it takes. I'll help you with that. And it was really refreshing on my end. Now, fast forward, I was given an opportunity a little later in the fall, which kind of rerouted me completely. And I've like just fallen in love back with the rehab world. It's like a breath of fresh air now. So I put the programming aside and still got my nice computer. But.
Well, yeah, but because it was kind of just like, it was kind of just like almost testing the waters of, do I still really love therapy? If I had a different career, would it bring me more joy? And sometimes you have to kind of dip your toe in to see if that's true.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate.
Like what I was not okay with is if Michael was like, all right, I'm going to quit my job and then do a boot camp for a month that costs thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
and,
they're like $14,000.
And like no job secured on the other side of it. Like I would not be okay with that because we have children. We're going to have a fourth one. And so it's like realistically, we have to have the stability of a paycheck coming in. So there was a certain level of my comfort as far as pursuing another career change. But what honestly I think the Lord did with that was to reignite Michael's love for PT by showing him like, you know, you are going to go through some valleys with your career and that's okay. I just want you to trust me in those times so that it builds your abilities as a PT. It builds our relationship as far as like Michael and the Lord, like really leaning into him and saying, let me provide for you, because he totally provided the new opportunity for him was like beyond what we could have ever have dreamed of. And it's the Lord was like, I got you. I will take care of you. Just trust in me. And I think sometimes for people to kind of walk through that of like, is this really the career for me? Do I love something else more? And it's okay to ask those questions. It's not a bad thing at all. I think it's just how you handle it. And like I said, I was not okay with Michael quitting and like doing like a boot camp type thing, because that would have been very, very difficult for us to live off of. But yeah, it was because you like looked into programming for how many months?
Probably like 4 months, 5 months.
Yeah. But it was so cool.
It was interesting. I loved learning it. It was very exciting. It was what we were doing though, I was burning out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Just in terms of like not sleeping as much, spending like 4 hours, several nights a week programming and stuff. And it was a whole new world that I wasn't used to. So I was very...
It's like you were in school again.
I was self-employed, like self-school.
Yeah.
Like I make the hours and all that stuff. But the point of it was, the point of bringing it up was that when I thought I was going to make a transitional change, I got a ton of support on the other end. That felt really good. It was like, that was a breath of fresh air. I felt like I needed something. The conversation was easy. And coming from that, I'm really, really grateful for that. And kind of the whole episode's point is how to kind of be that person for your spouse when they need it.
Yeah. And I even think that your transition to the new PT opportunity that you had, because it's going to be in the long run, it's going to be very different than what you started out with in the PT world. And so you're going to have more responsibilities and more things on your plate, more administrative stuff, things to think about, and a different way of thinking about how to care for people as a whole. And I think that the exploring the programming opened your eyes to, I have more potential in the PT world for me than I did, than I thought I did at the beginning, like of the beginning of my career. Like, I think I would have pegged you as just being a regular therapist, like no administrative duties for your entire career, because that's a comfort zone that you really like to be in. Whereas now this new opportunity that you are really excited about and have, eventually it's going to be a lot more than just patient care.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's having gone through that kind of 4 month or a few month thing of like, what are other possibilities for me, opened your eyes and kind of primed you for your other PT opportunity.
Yeah. That's a good way to think of it.
Yeah. And so Michael, you know, kind of, he's kind of, you've been pretty steady, like career wise, you've kind of stayed in the same trajectory, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I even had my first job out of school for like 7.5 yeah. years, which is a lot. Therapists don't stay in jobs very
yeah.
long.
And it like 2 years or something.
Seems like it.
Yeah. So you had a potential career change, at least the conversation happened. And then for me, I have had, like, so I graduated, for those of you who don't know, graduated with a dance education degree, which is not the most widely accepted or
it's hard to make money doing it.
There's not a lot of dance teachers that are needed, especially in a school setting. It's very rare for your high school to have a dance program, basically.
Quick question. When you were doing that, obviously, I'm sure you knew that, that obviously did not deter you. Was that much of a concern during, or is it like...
No, I just loved it so much.
Okay. That's what I figured. That's like, we've talked about it, but not a ton.
Yeah. No, I loved it. And I was like, I'm not going to pay money at a university to do something, to get educated on something I don't love. Like, to me, that's a waste of time and money. So I pursued what I wanted to, and... You know, I graduated and then we got married and then Michael was in school. So I had to get a job to help provide, to be like the breadwinner, which is, I have no problem with. I love contributing financially to the family. It brings me a lot of joy. And so I basically just got the first job I could that would make me any kind of money. And so I had a connection and I utilized that connection. And my day job was basically a pre-K teacher. And then I had a night job, which was working at Michael's university at the rec center and teaching hip hop and like a lean and mean class. So basically I just created a workout class off of like what I would do as a dancer. So those are my two jobs. That was the first year. And then the second year, my night job stayed the same, but my day job became, basically the front office administrator for a PT clinic, which is kind of cool. Cause then I could see the world that Michael would be in, because he was still in school, but he would be entering into this world, like managing a PT office and the ins and outs of that. Like, I could totally commiserate with anything that he came home with, like, this was frustrating, or like, I hate that we have to do this just because of, you know, just because you have to in this field, or, you know, seeing difficult patients, or just anything. Like, every job has pros and cons. And so it was cool for me to see what kind of world he would be entering. And then, so basically, like, I whatever job I could have that would support us is what I did. And I loved it because I was providing for the family. Once Michael became the breadwinner, I had more flexibility. And I still wanted to contribute financially. So I actually had, when we moved to Florida, I had a friend who worked at a company, and it was an at-home job, which was great. And worked for her for a couple of years. I think it was 2 years. And it was a good job and I liked it. It just really conflicted when we had our daughter, because it was an at-home during the day job. Like, I wasn't going to put her in childcare. And so I wasn't really being present for her. And so I had to choose. One has to be more important than the other. So which one was I going to choose? Well, I was going to choose my daughter. So I ended up leaving that job, and I still wanted to make money, but do it on the timeline that I wanted. And so I told Michael, well, I wanted to start a blog. And he was like, yeah, cool, go for it. And so I started a blog that was back in 2014. And I tried to diversify it to a YouTube channel and, you know, being present on Instagram and things like that. And so kind of being a blogger, like a not an OG blogger, because it's older than 2014. But in that world, it's much different now. It's constantly evolving, but basically like an influencer. And that world is definitely something different. It's got its own motivations, because the purpose is to make money, and like it's a job, and there's a lot of work that goes into it. If you've never done it, if you've never been an influencer, like, it's hard for you to understand the amount of hours that goes into creating content and promoting it, because you are everything that's in a company as far as like social media production and like everything to make a company successful. That's what you are. You take on every single role. And so it's a lot to manage on your own. Eventually I started an Etsy shop, which Michael was like, do it. And I think I needed to like try out different things as far as like focuses. Like it was just kind of like a self-improvement type focus at first. And then I did a little more like women's like mental health, like as a mom, like speaking as my experience from a mom, and then dipping my toes into fashion, which I love clothes and I love dressing well, but found out very quickly that was not something that I wanted to do. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It just wasn't a good fit for me.
It's also really hard to be genuine with that too. It just didn't feel like there's much meaning to it.
Well,
that's what I didn't like about that particular one. It's like,
and that's hard. It's hard for you to understand, but as a mom and a woman who a lot of times when I find any kind of clothes that fit, but then aren't flattering and within my budget, it's very, very discouraging. So it's very easy for you to go into a store and to pick out clothes and for it to fit and to look good. That's not something you have a problem with.
This one's got an M on it. That's good for me.
Yeah. But as a woman, if you're listening and you're a mom, your body changes. And so finding clothes that are flattering, that make you feel good, it's very, very difficult and extremely discouraging almost all the time. But following other influencers, fashion influencers on Instagram, there is meaning for them. Like, they are much better at it than I think I could have been long term. So there is meaning in it. It's just hard for you to understand, but you just don't have that problem.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. So I have had different entrepreneurial like inclinations over the years. And Michael, with every single one of them, has been like, well, yeah, just do it. And the conversation is like always, you know, what do you need? How do we be smart about purchasing what you need so that neither one of us like credit card debt. So we're not going to just buy all these things. And like, I never like went on shopping sprees and spent like $500 on clothes. I don't even think I spent $500 on clothes in a year for the entire family. So,
and the current thing we're working on, or Elizabeth's focused on, is my mom got her a Cricut machine. So
Which is really cool.
If you've never seen a Cricut machine, you should look it up. You can do basically anything. But Elizabeth has a real knack for some artistic stuff. And we're making some, I say we, I have nothing to do with it. I just say yes, go for it. But it's like a space NASA kind of theme is your kind of main focus for a lot of stickers being made and developed right now. So we needed Cricut supplies. We needed a special kind of printer, and that cost a bit of money. Nothing crazy, but it's just one of those things.
I think I actually bought the cheapest printer.
Yeah, it's amazing. We actually bought one. It didn't work. Went to go get one, and it was $70 less. That's always nice. But it's one of those things for me. Like, why was I going for each one of those after several ideas didn't work out? It's like, A, you've got to give your spouse room to do that kind of stuff. I just, every time she would ask me, my mindset is, if I was in the other driver's seat and I had this thing that I'm like, I think this has legs. I think it could really do something. And I get a no, like, wait, what? No, like that would feel terrible. So like, I never want to be the one giving that no.
Yeah.
And also like, because I am, you know, I've got the traditional job, the 9 to 5. Elizabeth is here with the kids, homeschooling and raising them. If she's also interested in doing something that will bring in money and, you know, it could cost some and not make it back, or it could be something that eventually makes more money than me as a therapist. I'm not a future teller, so I always say go for it. It could be huge.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we've always kept a priority is that ultimately it's like that person's the majority of their life. Like, you spend a lot of time at work, and I spend a lot of time doing my passion aside from being a homeschool mom. Like, I love, love, love being a homeschool mom. Is it one of the hardest things I've ever had to do? Yes. And I think it's one of the hardest things that anybody ever has to do. If you're a stay-at-home parent and you homeschool your children, it's very, very difficult. And so for me to have an outlet where I can do something that contributes financially and also brings me joy in creating, that's a big deal. And it does become a part of your... I think it does become a part of your identity in a way. And it's knowing how to have a healthy balance, because my identity is not solely in being a mom or a wife or someone who does creative things with their Cricut. Like, my identity is in Christ. So having that alignment is good, but I think it's important to give your spouse space to try something new and either exceed and open up all kinds of doors or fail. And there's nothing wrong with failing. And I think sometimes failing gets a bad rap because it's like, it needs to be a sure thing. Like, you can't fail. You have no room to fail. It's like, well, of course you have room to fail. You absolutely can fail. Where, like, you kind of just like, if you say worst case scenario, what is it? There's a movie or a show that's like, let's play the worst case scenario game. And I don't remember what it is, but they verbalize like, what's the worst case scenario? And they say it. And it's like, okay, if you can just get it out there and say it, then sometimes you realize how unrealistic your worst case scenario is in your head, or you speak it and you're like, okay, I'm not so afraid of it.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to have that space to grow and change.
So some tools to navigate a possible career change or job change. Let's kind of lay them out. In more of a easy to follow way. So the biggest thing is look at your motivation. Let me back up, actually. I think the first thing is to be pray about it.
Yeah.
So I think I wrote these kind of in just thought process order, but in terms of what you should do in the order that you should do it is to pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things being a career change, maybe a location change. One thing, you're definitely going to change offices at the very least if you don't change hometowns or whatever.
Mm.
But also be asking the Lord, like, is this a missional opportunity that you're afraid of seeing? Or if you're just like, I'm not going to, you know, so-and-so wants to do a career change. I don't want to change that much. But is there an opportunity for a new mission field at their office or in a new hometown that you may be missing out on by being stubborn about it?
Yeah, being stubborn and selfish. Yeah, I think after you pray about it, then also looking at your motivation, like examining your heart, asking the Lord to like really reveal, like, why is it that you're wanting to pursue something different? Do you really feel called to it? Or I just want to also caution, like, jumping, like being a serial job holder, you know, like you're constantly jumping from career to career. Or job to job, if it's just because you're bored and your 2 months at this job has expired and you feel like you want to move on, I think there's some contentment issues that may need to be sorted out through prayer and the word by digging into that, right?
Yeah, if you're doing 2 months per job, you have problems.
That's not a good thing, because like we said before, you know, especially if you're supporting other people like wife and kids, and you know, maybe you have a parent who's older and is staying at your house, who's under your care. I think having that reliability of paycheck, and because unfortunately the world revolves around money. That's how we stay in our houses and buy food and get us places. You know, those, you have to have a steady income to be able to do that. Now, the level of income is per family. I'm not saying that everybody has to have the same like base level income or higher, but you know, everybody can know what they're capable of living off of, but it's the whole point of having that reliable income. And I just think that if I were a serial job hopper, I would hope that Michael would be like, hey, maybe let's slow down for a second. Like, let's talk about why you want to change. Because if I'm running from a problem, if I'm running from my contentment has run out in this job and I just want something different, that's something selfish on my part. And I really need to be in prayer about contentment, because you will experience lows and you will experience highs at every single job, no matter what it is. And it's important that in those high times and low times that we're leaning into the Lord and we're asking Him to sustain us through those.
Yeah, because ultimately, if you're looking for peace and contentment in your job, it will elude you. Because
it won't be there.
You know, that's not where true peace and contentment comes from.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for that, stop doing that.
Yeah, you're going to be disappointed every time.
Also, when I think of like a serial job hopper, I think of somebody who's like working at Post and then they switch to General Mills and then they're like unhappy there and they go to work at Kellogg's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you will definitely experience lows in a job unless you work at Home Depot. There you go. There's your two jokes. I've been thinking of them for a few minutes. See, I love it because these jokes, you may not have laughed at all. You must be like, oh my God, I'm turning this off. But she laughed pretty hard. That's why we're still together, going strong.
Since 2007.
Yeah.
So just looking at your motivations, like really asking the Lord to reveal what's the heart motivation behind wanting to have this job change, because that will reveal a lot about the way you view your current job. And maybe it's just a heart change. I'm not saying that's true for everybody. Maybe your job really is toxic. Maybe you are in an environment where you are suffering mentally and it has forced you to be on maybe some anti-anxiety medication or something like that. Like, that's a big deal. Definitely examine that. Seek help. Evaluate that. Probably is time for an environment change for you. But that's just why we say, like, before you make any decisions, just pray about it. Find out what the motivation is, because then I think moving forward, it makes clearer, like, what your next steps are, what is it that you need to pursue, and that type of thing. And so examining that, like Michael mentioned earlier, if moving is a part of the equation, then that's definitely something that needs to be discussed with your spouse, because that is a big deal. And we actually did a moving episode a few episodes ago. I don't remember the number of it, but
yeah, like, I'd be impressed if you did.
Yeah, relocating, like, how do you handle a total location change with your family and still bringing unity to the marriage and walking through it together as a unified front? Because it can be very scary, but it can also be very exciting.
Yeah, we've been in Florida for the better part of a decade now. But when I finished PT school, we had kind of a wide array of choices we could have gone to. Mm-hmm. Georgia, Texas, North Carolina, and ended up going to Florida. Being close to family was a big deal. Mm-hmm. So we went there. So that was a lot of conversation and a lot of, I don't know if we made a list or not. I don't remember.
Well, it was also a great opportunity too. Like, yep. It was a far superior opportunity than anything else.
Cost of living is way nice here.
Yeah.
And we got the beach.
Yes. Yeah. So just talking through all those things, really talking is like the biggest thing, being honest and open about your feelings and, you know, being respectful about it. Like, you know, it would not go over well if either one of us went to the other and said, look, this is what we got to do. And this is what is going to make us the most happy. And it's like, you just put a lot of like factual statements over me. And I like, we need to back up.
Yeah.
You know, it just, if you go into it like fists tight and said, this is the way it has to be, it just won't be received well. And it also, it just doesn't leave room for conversation. Like, what am I supposed to say to that?
Yeah. Like, we're not talking about, you know, what you're having for dinner tonight, which can be like, you know, I just, hey, I got this on the way home. We're having this tonight. Oh, cool. We're talking about a career change. So that should not be a one-sided conversation. Or like, hey, I quit my job and I signed up for a boot camp. It starts on Monday. What's for dinner?
What?
Yeah. It's got to be a two-party thing. It's just too important to decide on your own.
Yeah.
And really listen. Like, if you've got a lot of thoughts about changing something and your spouse has serious trepidation about it, that is important too. And I don't want the point of this episode to be like how to go along with your spouse's career change anytime they want to. That's not necessarily the point. It's how to come together, figure out that big step together, whether that means, yes, we are doing it because it is a great opportunity, a new mission field, new pay raise possibilities, whatever it might be. But again, it might be ill-fated. It might be a selfish move. It might be something that doesn't need to happen. And your spouse might need to speak that truth into your life.
Yeah.
And y'all both need to be praying about it. And that will kind of work itself out too.
Yeah.
It'll become obvious pretty quick.
Yeah. Cause I think when you mention like a career change, that's just, that's like the umbrella. And then under the umbrella is a lot of other small things that have to be talked through. And so it's very important not to just say, all right, here's my new career change or here's what I'm wanting to do, but here's what I'm thinking because of X, Y, and Z with my current job. Here's my concerns with staying at my new job. You know, so like all these other little factors fall under a career change and things that need to be talked about. Both point of views are equally as important. And you just like walking forward, here's our point of concern. All right, let's talk about that. Okay, we've come to a unified front on that. Let's take another step, talk about another thing. Let's find our unity in that. Okay, now another thing. And so it's just working through one thing at a time. And that really goes into our challenge, which is in the next 7 days, if this is something you are currently going with your spouse, like y'all are experiencing this right now, talk about it. Talk about it. You know, maybe listen to this episode again or share it with your spouse and be like, hey, I think maybe we should slow our roll on this thing and make sure that we have unity as we walk through it so that we can come to the best possible decision that we feel like the Lord is leading us to. If you're in a position where, well, you know, my career and my spouse's career is fine, we're not really going through this, that's great. Just remember this episode if you find yourself in that position later, because I think it's really common for people to have a career change. Like, I don't know.
It's not like it used to be where you know, the people's grandpa worked at a place for 38 years and got a watch when they retired.
Right. I think like the people who graduate with their degree and stay in that field is very small.
It's like way low.
Yeah. So I think you may find yourself in that position later on down the road. So just, you know, keep this episode in mind or share this episode with a couple that is experiencing this because we want this to be helpful for others because it, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge.
But that's it.
Yeah.
That's all the things.
That's all, guys. Just remember everything. So as always, we love you guys and we really appreciate your time investing into the podcast by listening and
investing in your marriage.
Yeah. And we just love the feedback that we're getting on our social media. And feel free to email us with any questions, episode ideas, marriagetalkspodcast@gmail.com. We love participation and we love you guys. We will talk to you next Monday.
Bye.